There, I did it for
it's
you.
Not gonna work. You have to get closer.
No, I moved it closer to him.
This feels awkward.
You didn't it's even invading, move.
It's invading my personal space.
You'll be off screen. You'll be like when they have like an informant on the TV.
He's
okay.
Can you put
we're
a shadowy area over here and disrupt my voice a little bit?
You have to disrupt it yourself.
I'll be like that.
I mean, you could just do that on your own.
Yeah, that's what
I
was doing.
And I don't have to worry about editing or anything like that. Yeah.
I'm just going
to talk through a dinosaur.
There you go.
Roar!
Does that work?
No, you can press the sides of a dinosaur. Or press the stomach.
I think he's broken.
No, he's not broken. He's still okay, good. I mean, that's like 12 years old. And it was probably about 5 years old when John got it. Hey, welcome to Crippled System, episode 2-1-2-2-1.
2-1-2-2-1?
Yep.
Two, one. We passed views on mini sing, but they split their episodes into 45-second deals.
Yeah. Oh, that'll do it.
We actually were going to do a 90-episode episode where every 1 minute was an episode number just to pass you guys.
That involved a lot of work on Andy. It was like a lot of punishing work on Andy. With a full intro and exit on everyone.
Just the
we
listeners.
Don't even have intros or exits.
We would have made
we
one
got
then.
Buses and credits.
Yeah. I mean, I could just switch back to that one right now. Like, no. You can turn the mics on. They can hear us while they see the Buses right now.
So the mics were turned off?
Mics were turned off. Now they're on, though. But not
I think
all
they were
recording.
The podcast they were recording,
is 50%
worse. Oh, okay.
No. I turned the mics on. So during the Buses, they can see us. So that's all they see right now is just Buses and us talking.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Is anyone here?
No, probably not. Okay. Nobody talks. Nobody listens
they
to the podcast.
They do. There's usually Jim is on there and maybe a Travis, and then there's a non-Euclidean Nick, and there's Aggie usually shows up.
What else is Travis going to do?
Right?
In his life.
My name is Nathan, and I play Mulligan Scoia'tael.
Oh.
Yeah, Francisca. Yeah.
It's so bad. I'm sorry.
Hey, man, I'm up to 17 so far.
Yeah,
and it's
you can get to 18.
I mean, 17. I'll be able to get to 19, but no, I got like a 64% win rate. I'm doing okay, but I mean, that's lower levels, obviously.
Jim hauled his gimpy ass up to 18 with Morvan Voorhees
last season. So obviously I'm Jim and I play Morvan Voorhees. So it's like AA right now, right? Like,
I play Mulligan Scoia'tael. Well, I play Morvan Voorhees. Oh, I'm sorry for your pain. You're in recovery. It's okay.
Oh, man.
But, I got to 16 with Morvan, and then I got to 18 with Francesca, and then I got to 19 with Morvan.
Yeah.
And then I could not win with him anymore, and I had to switch to Spies? I don't remember what I tried to do to make 20, but I did not make it.
Probably the Fringilla Mimi, which isn't exactly Mimi.
Maybe. It is looking that way right now because, like, every deck right now has Scorch, Villain Trenmirth, Igni, or some combination of the three.
Sure.
Yeah, so my win rate went from like 65% to 47%. I was like, okay, I gotta switch.
I'm Keith, and I play John Spies.
What?
My name's Brian. I play, I think I play Fulstead.
I thought you were doing a monster
Fulstead?
Fulstead.
I thought for sure you'd play Aridin.
I was playing Aridin, which I do like my Aridin deck. I was trying to tweak with the consume deck, but I didn't quite get it where I wanted. And ooh, I definitely haven't. It's a good deck. I just don't quite have it where I wanted. I definitely played. I still have more wins with Aridin, but I'm almost caught up with the Northern Realms. I just like the Northern Realms. It's such a thinning deck because it's 26 cards on round three. I'm always playing like by the end of the round three, I have no cards left. I'm always playing what I can play.
That's how Spies is too. Like I bricked my Joaquin. Not paying enough attention yesterday.
Yeah. Is it today or tomorrow?
Come on, Joaquin. Nothing.
Oh. I have to go in and play one game with Northern Realms to get a free gold, right? Is that today or tomorrow?
By the way, tonight.
I didn't know anything about
it. It's tonight. So they're doing these faction things.
Over already?
No, you can
I think tonight.
US tonight, you can still do it.
Okay. They're doing these faction head-to-head things where they pick two factions and they have them war, and at the end of this, like, two-week stretch, whichever faction has more wins, everyone who played more of that faction than the other faction gets a premium gold.
So I have to craft...
But there's no minimum, so you just have to play one game with the people who are currently winning,
which
is Northern
Realms. Does
it
have to be ranked, or can it be in casual?
I think it's casual, it's fine. Nice. I think it counts all games.
So I have to craft the Northern Realms hero to get a...
Yeah. Because you stole your heroes.
Oh, no, I have Radovid.
Yeah. I ripped them in half to make more brand.
That is a high percentage loan that you took, or a high interest rate loan.
The thing about it is that I followed the Marshall strategy. He is a genius. He ripped up everything except for one faction, and then you can make a competitive faction out of that, and then you climb up very easily, and you get way more rewards.
Yeah, my fault.
And then you can just backfill. And
my area win rate was closer to 50, but this deck I think is at like 66 or 67% win rate, which is, you know, gets enough, you know, two out of three.
You climb fast. That
Northern Realms is everywhere. I actually put Yennefer Chironox into a spy deck.
It's amazing how bad Epidemic can destroy me, though. It's so ridiculous. Like, Epidemic, I don't think... You don't see Epidemic being played at all, but that card would literally destroy me.
The one time you see it is there's the blue chick that can make it.
Yeah. Yep.
I mulliganed a War Dancer out, and then I played Blue Mountain Raiders.
Yeah.
So I had 4-3 costs, and then it's Epidemic is their first play, and I'm like, you just lived the dream. It's 12 cost Epidemic.
See, I play a Blue Stripes Commando. It pulls a guy, so they go to 4-4. I put another one down. I go... I will have
sixes,
and then they play Epidemic as their next action. I had that happen to me, and I still won the game. I pulled out of my ass, but it's literally because almost all my first like four plays just boost the rest of my deck.
A lot of times, a Reaver Scout's in there, and he'll at least protect you from it.
But. Yeah.
Yeah, no, the only time you'll ever see Epidemic is off of that blue, I think she's a gold, right? She does the Aromancy Epidemic Thunderbolt Potion.
Most of those are silvers. The pick one of the three mages, most of them are silvers.
She's a gold.
Okay. She has higher quality picks. It's not it's not Clear Skies, a Weather, and something mediocre.
Sure.
It's a great spell.
And then something that's and a situational.
And Aromancy.
Well, Epidemic is not great.
Who do you play, Andy?
Hi, my name is Andy, and I'm going to be confused for the
entire episode. He plays Guild Ball.
I know people who still won't play Gwent because they want to play Hearthstone. I'm stabbing them.
I feel like it's completely different games.
They
are completely different. But Jeremy's like, well, when I was going to play Gwent, I looked it up and only one deck wins, so therefore the game is dumb and stupid.
What?
That might have been the case in some section.
He looked into it a few months ago. You could win golds, couldn't be killed, and stuff like that. So there were some less decks, you know,
even
6 months ago.
Then, even under gold.
For a while, Dagon was just swinging his dick around. I mean, there was probably a month or so where
it's
Dagon.
Like, he's swinging his dick around, he's demolishing the metagame, look at his statistics. 56% win rate. Yeah. It's not that bad. The worst was actually Francisca right after she got buffed.
And it's not like Hearthstone didn't have a month where Quest Rogue was just beating out. You know, the same shit happens.
Higher than 56% probably.
Yeah,
A week and some change ago, the Hearthstone meta was down to two decks. It was, two or three decks. It was like Big Priest or Raza Priest or Jade Druid. Those are the three decks. And it was how is that different?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, now...
Once you get above rank 5, that's all there is. Yeah.
In Gwent, you see a lot of decks.
I just love the 2 out of 3, and the finesse of when to lose a round, when to run around, when to push a second round. I love my deck, because my deck loves to push all three rounds. I don't mind losing round 2, I just want to make it long. And so many
winning round
that.
1 and then pushing round 2 longer than they want to be pushed feels so good. Because a lot of people win round 1 and then just do a quick drop in round 2 win 3. And if you don't do that for them, it can just be so fucking frustrating. And they're like, please just drop. And you're like, no, this is going. I know you're going to win round 2 eventually, but it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt.
I started this round with Cantarella and Rain Fairn in my hand, so we're going all the way. And they're like, no.
I've been up by 56 points. I couldn't. And if you know what? I'm going to let them go down to 0 cards to win it just so in round 3 I completely obliterate them.
The Necker's deck sometimes will literally play down to 0 cards.
Yeah.
Let's go to 0 and see who wins.
Yeah.
Probably the guy that's got a 15-point carryover coming through. Probably.
Maybe. Yeah.
Should we bother to explain what Gwent is?
You should probably explain
I've recommended it a couple times.
PlayGwent.com, it's free. Get download it and now you'll catch up. Anyone who's played The Witcher, the video game, has a concept of what we're doing. Obviously, it's a concept.
No. I was just... So... you know, they announced some of the changes they're doing that are coming up, whatever, and I was reading in a Reddit thread, and somebody's like, this is so stupid. They should just give us exactly what it was in Witcher 3. That's what everyone wants. And I'm like, no!
I love...
like, that's what it was when closed beta started.
Yeah.
And that's not what it is anymore because of feedback, but I'm sure that's what everybody wants. Just go play Witcher.
Yeah, just everybody wants zero strength spies that have you draw two cards, right? Like that. Well, yeah, I want that.
just for Nilfgaard, though.
Right.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah. Why does Cantarell only draw one card? They're the spy faction.
Yeah, I am enjoying even watching like streams of the game, watching some of the stuff. I watch a lot of Swim.
Yeah, Swim's the one everybody watches.
Pumpkin,
I think, is another big one.
Pumpkin is not as entertaining as Swim.
No,
but he's another popular one. He might be like 5% better.
Swim's fun because he is very good at explaining his thought process while he's doing stuff. At least that's kind of an interesting.
Yeah, there's other entertaining podcasters. There's Jaggerus and Merchant, but they're just not as good at the game.
Well, and Swim had Matt Mercer on. Like all Friday was him and Matt Mercer just hanging out playing Gwen. And he was actually, Matt Mercer was on his stream. He was hosting it, so he could see Matt's hand while he was playing. And he was explaining to Matt, you know, because Matt is newer to Gwen, so he wasn't like being a dick, but he's like, well, so in this situation, that's why you'd play this versus this. And just hearing him explain to someone for like 3 hours why you should do this over that and the elements of it was interesting.
Yeah.
He is really tactically sound and interesting, but.
My favorite thing about Swim is that he is a little trolly. So there are times when he has created a deck that has reshaped the meta, and then he'll post it on the Gwent DB with one fatal flaw. Like, he'll put one of the golds in really wrong and make a case for why you should play it, but he puts it that way so that he beats people who are playing his deck.
Yeah. Well, what happens is they drop that gold, and he knows every card in their deck.
Right.
Because as soon as you play that gold, you're playing a card-for-card net deck.
Right.
So he's like, I know every card in your deck. I'm going to use that information.
Absolutely.
You know, it is pretty funny, but... Yeah.
This is going to be a long podcast for me.
You're all right. Every once in a while, you can talk about the butchers or something.
No,
blacksmiths.
No,
you're playing blacksmiths?
I play blacksmiths.
There you go.
Yeah. No, but
you should do is play Gwent.
I agree, though. In fact, I was thinking about it. I could have myself playing Gwent on the screen here during the stream, but then I'd have to install.
We'd all be watching you just play Gwent.
I know.
He's like, no,
you fool!
No! Nathan and I were talking about this of like... Some podcasts or some video casts I've seen to have like somebody playing like a video game on that on the stream itself, and I realized that wouldn't work for us because we would just be talking and then just be distracted, just staring at the game.
Yeah, you'd have to keep it so we couldn't see it. Would be the only way it would work. I mean, I
agree though with Hearthstone. I feel that Hearthstone right now, just getting into it is a task because you earn things seemingly really slow in the game. So either you're going to have to play the game a ton in order to build enough dust to be able to make the cards that you want for it, or you're going to have to throw a bunch of money at it, and that's no...
There's no way to play Hearthstone without a bunch of money from a new player. I mean, all games to some degree, but like...
Gwent is so generous.
It's weird that their objective, their stated objective on Gwent is to be fan service and not to make money on it, which has turned around on them badly because they're making a ton of money. They've really failed at their objective.
Well, yeah. I mean, I will say when you like all forums, there's always mad people. No matter how enjoyable something is, a group of people are going to hate it.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, God bless America and all that. But watching people lose their shit over the new leaders because the new leaders have like random abilities to them. I mean, Gwent is very tactical, and there's not a lot of randomness normally. So putting a pure random element, it doesn't bug me, but watching the rage is hilarious.
My thought, and it's not wholly mine, I've heard other people who are far better at Gwent and have like Twitch feeds and are like Swim and Pumpkin level of fandoms talk about this, and I agree with it, is so every time people have been complaining of, so like 100 new cards are coming out next week, or week and a half, whatever, middle of December, and a shitload of them have, confusingly, it says spawn, which was already it's going to be called create.
I believe so.
But it's discover from Hearthstone. It's draw three cards and then pick one of the three cards. And a shitload of these, including every so far revealed new leader, has that as their ability.
I thought it was, I don't think you pick, I think it just spawns.
It's three.
One.
No, oh, it's a three. It's discover from Hearthstone.
Right.
It's literally just discover from Hearthstone. So whatever it has as the what it spawns, that's the restriction to what'll show up.
Okay.
And it'll give you three random choices from that pool, and then you pick one.
So what I haven't been clear on yet is that in Hearthstone, if you get a Discover spell, it limits it to your class. Is it?
These do not. I know they do not, because the Elf Silver says spawn a Silver or Bronze special, or spawn a Scoia'tael Silver or Bronze unit. So the unit choice specifies Scoia'tael, and the special
doesn't.
I wonder if you
hit, treason, then. That'd be so bad.
Well, it would be highly unfortunate. Given that one of the choices specializes.
Like Monster's Mask would be good.
Yeah. I mean, that already happens with Avalok the Sage, right? Where you can grab something that doesn't help you. So that's just part of the spawn. But he, at least, you don't even get a choice. You're just, like, playing against Nilfgaard, and you grab something that's, like, play that, or Skellige, and you get to play a cursed card.
That card is like, aggressively terrible.
Yeah, I know. But it's janky, and I don't
there's,
care.
There's always been
the
those.
The point is, they keep stressing, like, people are like, this is terrible. It's RNG and my Gwent. No! Like, the whole point of Gwent is that you have a perfect deck that has everything that you need to be, and you can't risk shit with dice rolling, and that's the purpose of the game, says these people. Which, number one, maybe for you it is. Some people like Avalok the Sage. You know, Andy would play four Avalok the Sages if it was legal. That is an Andy deck, and that's fine. Is that the guy that pulls a random card from your opponent's deck and copies it?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, he would play nothing but Avaloks.
You mostly just hit Roach.
Yeah. That is my experience. Oh, somebody outplayed.
6-point goal!
I played Avalok, like, first round, got
nothing.
Or you
could just play a Lesser Guardian.
I played Avalok against Spellitel. First round, hot, got nothing. Just, he dropped as a 3-point goal, and it goes, sucks to be you, Nathan. And I was sad, but I'm like, that's Spellitel. It's mostly spells. They didn't have a unit. And then round three, they played Double Cross and pulled a silver unit out of their own deck. I'm like, you fuckers, you were holding it and mulliganed it at start of round three. Asshole. But anyway, the point is, the developers keep stressing that these are for the new game mode. So 99% sure the unannounced or the unspecified so far new game mode is going to be some kind of a draft system, because that way you'll be able to do this spawn mechanic to grab specific cards that you may not have drafted.
The other thing about it is that the so-called RNG that everyone says, that's in the game already. Spy, you'll get two units, pick one. There's a ton of this stuff in the game, and some of it is so inconsistent, like Johnny, where you mulligan a card and get one of theirs. It's so inconsistent that people can't play it. It's not like it's going to hurt anything. If they can't topple spies with those RNG cards, I mean, don't bother playing them.
Yeah, there's certainly a difference between RNG and RNG under human control.
Right, and if you can build your deck for, like, the spy digs, it's maybe the kind of...
Well, and I'll link this into our audience here. It's actually very similar in some respects to War Machine. Like, you can get yourself in a situation where the RNG is very unlikely to hurt you. And every once in a while, you roll double ones. Every once in a while, off my first emissary, I hit, like...
Double Vicko or whatever.
Double medics or whatever, if I'm playing two medics or some variation of something terrible, like my medic and my shoot five spy guy. And it's just like, well, that sucks. But it doesn't happen very often, and I have a lot of agency in how it's going to play out. And similarly, as far as Hearthstone goes, the Discover mechanic has been one of the competitive players' favorite things. Like, a competitive player will take that Discover mechanic over deal random damage any day of the week.
Right.
Well, because it gives them options in decision-making, and they're trying to make better decisions than their opponents.
Yeah, it's actually additional agency over some of the other effects. So I think there's... I mean, it depends on the specific Discover or create card. It just depends on what pool it's looking into to see, like,
and most of discoveries say spawn a type of this or use this tag. So if you're putting that discovery card in your deck, you know what your pool is.
There's
limited
pools.
Saying give me one of the card, you're saying give me one of alchemy or give me one of cursed or one of. So you're already limiting the possibilities just by that card.
Yeah, they sound good to me.
I saw somebody break out the math where they're like, I think they did it with, like, Whispering Haylock. No, they did it with Ada, who's pull of cursed, I believe. Well, whatever, whichever one they did. They're like, this pool is 12 cards, and you have X percentage of drawing one of them as one of your three choices. And if there are three cards in that pool that are decently good for you at any given point of time between drawing three cards and any of those three out of 12 being good, you have like a 90% chance of hitting a strong card.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like this random shit falling from the heavens and you might just get garbage. You have some, you know your pool.
Now, it's not like that one goal that turns into any other possible goal. That's a much huger.
Uma?
It's like, play this, turns into God knows what.
I mean, they put some of those in for free advertising because of silly shenanigans that can happen.
Flip side, maybe I will play Uma forever because it's Uma and I love Uma.
And maybe you're like, you know, and there's people who play, and sometimes you're like, you know what, I'm going to play this weekend. I'm playing this is my stupid Spawn whatever deck. Like, you can just. And I will say, some opponents, their strategy is to disrupt your strategy. If you don't have a strategy, they can't disrupt that.
That's how spies play, and I have oftentimes been like, Jim has seen me sitting there and being like, I have no idea what this guy's doing. I'm going to lose. usually I'll pull out in the end because spies are strong on their own. But sometimes it's just like, I don't know what's happening. This is so stressful.
I can't remember if I mentioned this to you yesterday or Marshall at work.
You don't know
what
finisher to play for, a short or long round.
Saw a guy whose deck, it has no strength in the entire deck. It has no units, no way to put things. It's all hard removal. And he posted a screenshot of a 0-0-0-0-2 round tie, and he was like, I did it, guys! I won!
I was playing last patch or somewhere. I was playing Aridin against something, and after five rounds in the last round, we were both at zero.
Sure.
It's like, oh.
So. Yeah, you get a Scoia'tael versus
I think it was Scoia'tael versus Aridin, and it was 0-0. It's like, oh my god.
Yeah, I've had some amazing, like, stupid scores.
But, yeah, it's a good time.
How about that Geralt Yerdin, though?
He's just debombed the board.
Oh, debombed the board.
Fuck that.
So bad for Spellatel.
It also heals everything, too, because it's hard to reset. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That thing ruins my current Northern.
Yeah. It ruins every deck. It is a Skellige neutral, the same as Muzzle is. Or the same as, Wolfsbane is. Yep. It is a Skellige neutral as motherfucking hell.
So is Olegaard. I mean, nobody but Skellige plays Olegaard.
Everybody's that Yerdin wrecks every deck that isn't Skellige.
Yeah, Skellige.
Yeah, Skellige Veteran with that might actually be too good because Skellige Veteran is actually quite good.
But. Yeah, because those are strengthens, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it doesn't hit them.
That's what you. Oh, man, I played a game the other day. I pulled 25 of my 26 cards, and the only card I had I didn't pull was a fucking Eskel who could kill a guy. And I was playing the fucking vet. So he had like a 25 strengthen model. I lost the game.
Oh, T-bar.
I lost the game by 2 points, and I couldn't. I drew every card. I thinned my deck out. It was like I had 3 cards left. I played Dijkstra.
Yeah,
so I got two of the 3 cards, not that one fucking card. Like I auto win the game if I just could have got the card in my hand at some point in the game. And I have so many pulls and shuffles and.
Arctic Circle is asking a question. What are the Gwent deck styles? So if you're not familiar with the basic rules of Gwent, unlike Magic, unlike Hearthstone, unlike most other card games that
pretty
I've...
Much every single,
basically every
basically
other
every
game,
card.
There isn't as... It's a very... You have a very limited version of interaction with your opponent. Like, there's a lot, but it's not in the same style.
Well, I think there's no hit points.
The goal of the game isn't to reduce your opponent's hit points to zero, so there is no trying not to lose. You're trying to get more points than your opponent.
Yeah.
So you are every play trying to win.
Yeah. Creatures don't have an attack and defense. They just have a value.
Yep.
And so it's comparative value. And you can attack your opponent's values, and you can reduce them, and you can bring yours up. And there are just various ways to interact with
achieve
the
higher
on
score.
The board.
Right.
And, you have like and also, more, uniquely, is the complete lack of any kind of resource.
Yeah.
A turn is play a card.
Yeah.
Cards don't cost
any card you want in your hand, you play.
Yeah.
Some of the big popular decks, there is a Weenie Storm deck that just spams out a bunch of guys, and then it plays Yennefer Unicorn, and the Unicorn says, boost every unit on the board by 2. Now, if you have 20 guys and your opponent only has 10,
that's
a 20-point play.
Or 20-point, yes.
Right, and a 20-point play on top of Yennefer's base strength, that is an enormous play. Yeah, I mean, 20 so, like the base goal they start you with is just like, here, start playing Gwent, is 13. So 20 plus a body, I mean, it's just obviously
I saw
enormous.
A video the other day. I posted on Facebook, but you're not on Facebook. A guy played 4 Yennefers.
Oh.
Because he was playing Nilfgaard so he could scoop back into his hand.
Oh, yeah.
He played Avalok the Sage,
right.
Knowing his opponent only had a Yennefer in the deck, and then scooped Avalok, demoted scoop. He had Decoy and his leader, and then the gold that is play your leader ability. So he played 4 Avaloks, each of which grabbed a Yennefer, each of which unicorned.
But then, I mean, some other common decks, there's a consume deck where you're actively eating your own guys to buff other stuff. There's a spy deck where you play spies on your opponent's board that have strength but have synergy for you. So there's a bunch of different dynamic styles to play, too. It's not like the decks are boring.
Spies is my favorite because you play cards that have a value on them on your opponent's side of the board. But then I also play cards like the Imperia Brigade, which gains 2 points of value every time a spy is played. So if I have two of those out, all of a sudden spies are positive for me. Because the basic spy is 2 points.
Right.
And then it allows me to sift through my deck and find specific answers for problems. And it's a very... It's a control-ish oriented deck. Not
the spy
really.
Is the most control. It feels to be almost the most
Spell
control.
Spellatel is the most.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Old Spellatel.
Spellatel is a buff deck. The spells are disguise buffs.
The biggest control deck is Iridin.
Sure.
He's the one that he's playing this with attrition grind your opponent's score to zero by sticking them in weather.
Yeah.
So.
And the board is, instead of just having a row where your creatures sit, you have three rows where your cards are played. And then there are many effects that will attack a row or will attack a model or a card in each row. So there's also strategic plays to be made in where you put, you make your play.
The original Gwent used to have like certain people had to be in certain roles. There's a much higher restriction of that. Like your siege towers had to be in the third row, your archers had to be in the second row, and your troopers had to be in the first row. But I can see that with dynamic, it takes away a lot of choices.
They changed it, and people cried about it, but the game is actually much improved.
About 75% of cards don't care what row they go in, I'm pretty sure next month zero cards will care. Correct. I think they're limiting that because all of the spoiled cards for the next batch are lacking a row symbol.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, they were basically to the point where they might as well eliminate the symbol, and so they just eliminated the symbol.
And they've been making more and more things. I forget what Agile is what they call it.
Right. But now I think that's...
It'll just be models.
Yep. So that was another... It was like we were talking earlier, I don't know if it was on the cast or not, about the people who were like, I don't understand why they didn't just port the Witcher 3 game right in. That's what everybody
the
wants.
Worst version of Witcher.
Right.
And so that was a relic of something that they imported from the Witcher 3 game and through playtesting have realized makes the game worse.
For a single-player game where it's you versus the computer, it was a fine form and you could have fun. And once you played about 10 hours of the game, you eventually got a good Gwent deck. So every time you play Gwent, you could just crush the computer, feel good about yourself, go back to killing people as the Witcher. You know, you could just like take a little break. And,
The argument I heard against everything being agile is, oh, no, I can't anticipate my opponent and play strategically. But actually, the more choices, the more strategic, especially in a game like Gwent. I mean, Gwent is such a chess match, really. I mean, you have access to your whole deck, basically. You being able to choose, am I stacking a row or am I spreading out, is more strategic than being forced into your opponent's hands.
And there's buffs that affect all rows, some rows, one row better than others. So you can still see... You're still going to do what's best for your deck, and your opponent is still going to have the choice to how they want to react to all those things. And there's all these abilities that still can – you can force people to move where they – moving things around is a big deal in the game. And it will still be a big deal.
There's so few cards that aren't agile now that it's just frustrating. Like, my deck is 100% agile.
Except for
Irulan.
Irulan.
Mine, it's – oh, yeah.
Irulan and
probably
the Fireball Trapper.
I don't have the Fireball Trapper. I have the Archer.
I have one.
The Archer is agile, and it does 3 damage, and I threw Iris in my deck because I was sick of seeing Iris and everybody else. Attack. But anyway, Ida. I have Ida, and she is siege only. And I also have...
Luckily, she has no body, so it's not important.
My other siege only with no body is I have Barclay, who pulls out Cleaver.
Big.
Yeah, it's Barclay Cleaver. It's my only other dwarf. And he's also siege only. So it's annoying when I'm playing against Aridin or somebody, and I have some stuff in siege, and they drop in siege, and I move that stuff out or let it die because they're like 3 health, and then I want to play like Barclay. And it's just frustrating because it's so rare to be restricted.
Yeah, that's why they're going to get rid of it.
Yeah, I have... A slightly worse problem than that. One of the biggest bodies in my deck is stuck in Siege Row.
Asiri
Van.
And the thing is, like, Aridin wants weather on the table sometimes. He doesn't give a fuck if you're there or not. He just wants that on the table.
Actually, it's smarter to play into Aridin's weather. And
then like, move you.
Right. And 80% of the cases because he's got the drowners anyway. Yep. And so by playing into the weather, you're negating his drowner, which is like... The Drowner is an 11 plus weather ticks. He's just like this huge card if you're playing outside of weather.
So you force him to spawn another row of weather, which he didn't want to do.
Right, and then now you've got the option of clearing 2 weathers, not 1, if you do have a clear.
Yeah.
But
And then as far as asking what they get you when you start in the game, from start to finish, Gwent is generous as all fuck. So you start with a mediocre deck in each faction, one leader in each faction. If you do the single player mode, which will take you a day, you unlock all the other leaders and plenty of cards, and every single daily, which is just win six rounds, not even games, just rounds. You can go 0-6 and still do your daily.
You can go 0-10 and get it if you want to.
Sure. But yeah, you go 0-10. But even just win six rounds is a guaranteed pack. Yeah. And the packs are really good because you get four random cards, and just like any other pack opening thing like Hearthstone or whatever, those four random cards can be anywhere from the most common to the rarest. And then your fifth card is a Discover, right? They give you three cards that are guaranteed to be rare, epic, or legendary or whatever.
Yep, that's exactly
and
the terminology.
You're guaranteed to get something better than common, and you get a choice between three of them so you can avoid duplicating something you don't need.
And you can fill out a faction. And one strategy, if you really want to be cheap, is you can just mill down a couple of factions, and you can use that dust to make one good faction.
Yeah, there's five factions in the game. I've played now for a good month or so, and I've only played two of the factions.
Right,
I may build a third at some point, but the odds of me playing on five factions is pretty
what small. I do is I play one new faction per patch, because I can get one new faction per patch.
If you think very good, and you think you're going to play competitively, if you just have a gut instinct, don't do that, because the only reason that'll bite you, although by then I guess you can just drop $10 and rebuy them, it doesn't fucking matter. But the only way this could really bite you is if you do really well and reach the top, and you're invited to play in the separate pro ladder the next month, the pro ladder requires you to play all five factions.
But luckily, I mean, if you do make one of their pro tours, the minimum thing is $1,000 if you make it. So if you spent $60, plus they
not
have
the pro
a
pro tour, just the pro ladder. Right. The pro ladder is still just play at home on your computer jerking
I mean,
off,
I think by the time you get pro ladder, even if you use my strategy, the thing is my strategy makes you competitive more quickly, and you get more packs because of it.
Yeah.
So it's actually Marshall's strategy.
I would probably not grind the leaders. Like, the cards, yes, but I would keep the leaders.
It's
so expensive
to go, Brewerhoog, get out.
Okay, maybe Brewerhoog.
I needed to grind the leaders to build my first deck.
Right. But now that they got the starter available, you probably don't.
Yeah, with the starter pack.
The starter pack, which is 10 kegs.
Yeah, the $5 starter pack is an incredible value.
And, I mean, not that you should spend money, but it's not, like Hearth, it's pretty generous. Kegs, but they throw kegs. Like, I mean, like you said, the daily six rounds gets you one. There's actually tiers of legendary.
I've
got to
be
a daily. So
honest, I've spent money on the game, but only on stupid crap.
Like the dust.
Like, I mean, well, I also bought like 60 packs and then made like stupid stuff out of them. But I mean, it's like, you know, I've played like 300 hours of Gwent, and I better have at least spent $60 on it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But,
well,
they
burn that money. Like, I played no other video game that much. Right. I spent 60% of them. The other way that it's super generous is there's no rarity. Well, there's classes of rarity, but it's not like
there's not one uber gold and one crappy gold, and the crappy gold is cheap, and the uber gold is expensive.
And yeah, they all cost the exact same amount. In Hearthstone, it's dust. In this, it's scrap. They cost the exact same amount.
Yep.
So if you want a bronze card, you just spend your 100 scrap or 200 scrap, and there you go. You want a silver, you want a gold, they all cost the same.
I think it's actually 30 and 80. And I mean, you can get one pack is a minimum 60 scrap.
There are two rarities of bronze.
That is true. There are two rarities of bronze, only so that the fifth card that you get a choice can still be a bronze. That's the only reason they're still, because the silvers and golds are one rarity. Even
and there's just
themselves.
Not that many of them where they could give one away every pack.
But the point is, every deck can have four golds, six silvers, and then as many bronzes as you want, but the minimum
likely
deck is 25,
15.
And you normally then want to stay small and do 15. You might actually, you know, go higher in some decks, but
the
you're
Northern
unlikely
Realms,
to.
Northern Realms have so much play a card pull cards, but normally you don't want to
but
go higher.
Every 25 card deck costs literally the exact same amount of scrap to make.
Yep. Yeah.
It's literally
it's like 6,000 scrap, and again you get 120 or you get minimum 60 scrap a pack. So you know, 100 packs is kind of sounds like a lot, but in 100 packs you can have any deck you want. You get one pack a day for 2 months, and then probably like 15 at the end of the season. So it's really not that hard to get.
Also, I do feel,
and that's without ever opening anything good. And there is pity timers on them.
You might see some more 26 card decks. Starting with the new cards because of the new Siri.
Oh yeah, the
only way you can do her
crazy.
Is by having 26 cards or 28 or 30, because you have to have two of every bronze.
There seems to be so many.
I wonder if it's base strength or if it's boosted. Because if it's base strength, hello reveal.
No, yeah. she comes up. She's one in hand.
Okay.
Yeah, she's one in hand, but then when you play her, she might strengthen to the 25, so you can't reset her. But the new Siri is if you have exactly two of every bronze that's in your deck, you have to have exactly two of those bronzes.
Okay.
If that is the case, when you build your deck, when you play her, she becomes a 25.
If it is strengthened, I'm totally going to turn her into a silver bouncer back in my hand and make copies with
sure.
spotters.
I don't know if it's straight or
29 spotters, spotters?
Come on. She's gold.
Right.
You can shackle your own gold down to a silver to use bounces. Yeah,
and you can play her out as a gold so she's immune to like artifact compression. Yeah. Then you can go Emmer, shackles, bouncer.
Yeah, because Emmer, the Nilfgaard leader, can only pull back a silver. So you shackle your own golds to yank them back.
Emmer reveal. And then you put Leo down and you fire 25 damage at something and then you start making 29 point spotters. Come on. It's
well, hopefully great. Your opponent lets you play them all, then they just scorch it. But, you know, that's just
kind of. Oh, yeah. That's how you have
three.
But you take the screenshot before the scorch. Yeah. And it's like it never happened.
Golds and silvers are limited to one per deck. Bronzes are three per deck. There's five factions, and then there's neutral cards that can be played in any faction.
And the neutral cards, for the most, they've kind of fallen out of favor. There are not a lot of neutral cards that still get.
I don't know.
The Geralt signs are all pretty good.
Yennefer.
Yennefer. The Geralt.
The Dora Gray.
Scorch.
Scorch. There is a lot of good neutral cards. You can make a bunch of neutral cards.
Depends on the faction.
He's a gambly one, but I still do. I don't, like, he's not in the net decks, but I still see the occasional doo-doo even.
You shouldn't see him.
Doo-doo I only see in the ranks where people might still be short on silvers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a starting silver.
He is so bad against resets. I mean.
He is, but that's true. He's bad against resets, but there's a lot of times where he's a targetable scorch where it doesn't hit yourself.
Normally,
like, if your biggest is 20 and their biggest is 19, it's the same as scorching their 19.
If you're going to play him well, he's a starter card. He helps you win a lot of starter games.
Yeah.
He's okay.
There's Scorches, there's Yennefers, there's Gerald Ignis. Yep.
I put Cleaver in one of my decks as well, because Cleaver is way better than Ox. You know what I mean? He's even better than the Monster Lock in a lot of cases.
Barclay Cleaver because it's deck thin by one,
and it's a
14-point play with a lock.
Yep. Yeah, whereas Siren is only a 9. That's the other option, so... there's good neutral cards to be
maybe
had.
Up to like 25% of your deck might be neutral, but
yeah, that would be Spellatel. Yeah. Spellatel would probably play in
that would
range.
Be heavy.
Spellatel actually might play more than that because they play Nature's Gift, play Marcher Orphan. Oh, Nature's Gift is wrong, but yeah,
Signs.
I don't even play that, but Elzer's Thunder.
I see people do them.
Elzer's Thunder, Mahakamel, you actually probably play almost like 35% in Spellatel, but they're a very weird deck. Yeah.
Whereas Nilfgaard spies. I play Roach.
Hold on. There's something else in there. Well, what your gold spots? You have to have at least one. No, you don't. You're true.
It's Kaehir, Menno, Rainfarn.
I mean, that deck often plays Iris, and she's neutral.
It can.
Yeah.
But. I played her for like 2 days, and she was just tying my deck into knots, and I was like, I can't stand this.
Well, yeah, she's hard to play.
Well, except you are one of the decks that can play her where your opponent gets zero chance to respond.
I need two shooters.
You need two shooters, and you throw her out there, and she just dies.
Once you hit higher rank, people just... I mean,
will. I didn't say you will do it all the time. I'm just saying that there are a few decks that are good decks that also can... instantly kill her.
Yeah. Aridin is the best.
Aridin with the +1 damage, you just drop her right in there.
And then you freaking res her with Caretaker.
Fucking res her.
Oh my god, I love that.
The two turns for 54 points, I mean, that's about as big as it gets. Your opponent just has to
pull. If you're going to pull a forfeit, that's going to pull a forfeit.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Yeah, it generates quite a few forfeits.
I do mute.
I have forfeited.
I do mute the other players' responses. So I hear it, but man, I wish there was like a giggle butt when you could play that.
I don't, because every once in a while it's entertaining to talk back and forth. But some people, I don't know, even through only 6 possible emotes, are still aggravating as fuck. So I mean, there's a balance. But sometimes it's fun to be that guy that's aggravating as fuck.
It is impressive that you are right. There's only six predetermined things it can say, and yet they find a way to be a dick.
Well, they have to choose the right character.
Yeah.
They made all the characters sound like assholes with everything they said.
Yeah. So Dandelion is a lovable challenge.
Like,
Regis has got to be the worst.
CDPR went out of their way to make it easy to be an asshole. Yeah.
Even like the like thank you type stuff is like, man, is he being a sarcastic ass? He sounds like a sarcastic ass.
Andy's here. What's up, Andy?
So, quick question. So, let's say if I'm in round three, I know that I'm going to beat my opponent because they have no more cards left.
Yeah.
Do I just throw everything into the bucket?
Usually, once you're ahead, you just pass.
Some people call that a bowel movement, but I think it's fine. Okay. Especially,
I don't especially do it only because I have limited time on this earth and I'm wasting it throwing cards into a game I already won.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I like doing it. I feel good winning with four cards in my hand. You know, just be like,
playing a card only because I'm like, you know what? I'm afraid they're gonna have some kind of trigger I don't see. Like, I'm just extra peering. Like, I know I won, but
they've already passed. But who knows?
Well, sometimes some decks will get you after you pass. Like the Greatsword deck or a consumed deck can win after you pass. And you feel like
so there are there are things. So I'm like, you know what? Just in case, I've seen enough points.
Teruvial with a bamboozle, where you're like, oh, I got him. He's six and two on each side, and all of a sudden they hand buffed him to 12.
Yeah. I mean, so I definitely will play.
I will always play out if I'm playing reveal and all my cards are shown and they're not forfeiting. Because at that point, they're not forfeiting. They're saying, please play. I mean, they see your points. They can count.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm probably an ass, though. I enjoy it.
You are an ass, but that doesn't mean that you're wrong to do that.
Right. Yeah.
I immediately forfeit and don't give my opponent the opportunity unless they're playing something goofy enough that I'm like, what's
I
want to
see
deck?
What's going on.
Like, yeah, I forfeit quite a bit towards the end.
That's why I always figure they don't forfeit. They're like, I want to see how he's going to end this.
One of the great things about the quad Yennefer play was that the guy who did it, first he said, watch this with his emotes, which is a dick thing to say. Then he quad Yennefer'd. The guy didn't forfeit at any point in this. And then afterwards, the guy was like, that was really impressive. Thank you. Like, it was the most...
Actually, you can get pretty good. That's why I don't mute him. Every once in a while, you interact with somebody, you're like, yeah, it's okay that this guy was a person.
Yeah.
And that was cool. That's cool to see that happens. Yeah. And there's times where someone just does this crazy thing. Well, that was actually kind of cool. I mean, there are moments where you lose. This morning, I got up, and I needed to do one more quest because I didn't play much last night. And I started the game, and I played the guy who... I play like John guy who plays like cards out of my deck, like an event card. But I had all my specials in my hand. I was just too tired to realize that. I thought I only had two of my three specials in my hand, but I had all of them. So I played him to pull it on my deck, and nothing happened. I'm like, oh, fuck this goddamn game. Forfeit. I'm like, I can't play right now. I'm tired. I don't have
you need
time.
To install Gwent Tracker.
Yeah. I do. I have Gwent up. I just was completely... I was
just out of it.
I just woke up and crawled and was playing a game of Gwent.
Yeah. Like, nope. I mean, I just talked about it. I played that Joaquim right into a brick deck. With Gwent Tracker sitting right there.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you're just not... But it's good that the game requires some attention. You can't just, you know...
Yeah, if you are coasting and you're at rank 18 or above, you are going to lose a lot of points.
That's
why I've liked playing Gwent... One of the many reasons I've liked playing Gwent more than I did playing Hearthstone. The main one was I just felt like I was falling behind and needed to give Hearthstone money, which is how they want it to be.
Right.
And I don't feel that way in Gwent. And then the other main reason is that every time I've lost a Gwent game, I'd be like, I know what, it's like I did these three things wrong, and like I would have won that
usually
game.
There's
there's about 10% of your games that I think you can really say come down to card draw.
Every once in a while it was like, yeah, I just, there was...
We're not recording.
No, we're recording. We're recording on the stream, though.
Right. I was going to say, the audio stopped, but you can always rip it from you can upload the video and then rip it from YouTube.
Ooh.
There was
it froze.
Oh well.
There have definitely been games.
Are we still streaming?
Yeah, we're still streaming.
Okay.
Yeah. There have definitely been games.
Jim, if we're still streaming, say something in the chat.
There have definitely been games where like playing against Neckers in particular, it's just like I played my hardest in round one and couldn't win. I now lose.
Right. Sometimes you'll lose just to a matchup, and sometimes you'll lose to card draw. And, I mean, it happens. I mean, it does happen.
Yeah,
The amount of times that if you really look at it, it comes down to skill, your sequencing of your cards, how you mulligan, how your deck was built to avoid bricking, I mean, is a vast majority of the games.
So I play mulligan elves. I'm supposed to mulligan a lot. Some of the worst RNG I've had was in Gwent, where my hand was like all three of my Blue Mountain Raiders. It had Barclay and Cleaver, and it had none of my Mulligan cards.
Yeah, unfortunately,
so I mulliganed one of them away, and then like the next, it was just, and then I drew a non-Mulligan card, and then so the next round, I drew the other like Blue Mountain Raider again. I'm like, oh my fucking god!
That deck unfortunately incentivizes you playing bricks, and so sometimes it will just brick.
Yeah.
But.
And sometimes you just don't know, maybe your opponent had bad luck too.
So you got to stick it out a little bit.
Because I've had people where I'm like, man, this last round is going to be really close.
Yeah, I've and dropped then, like a 4-point card. I've dropped a 4-point card, my opponent forfeits. So it happens. It definitely happens.
Arctic Circle.
Or when your opponent passes with a card in hand and you're like, oh.
Yeah,
good for me.
Yep.
Round three. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I played against that guy earlier today. I know it was Scorch.
It usually is.
Because I was playing against Aridin, and I knew what it was. But
Arctic Circle, no, I'm not leaving War Machine, but that game no longer requires any brain power to build lists in, so I have some extra brain power to spare for Gwent decks.
And Keith only plays the one Gwent deck. Don't let him fool you.
Yeah,
one and a half.
John Kelviat spies, and then I tinker with something else that I don't really like every season.
I got two kegs.
Until Yarden, and then Kari just negates all your spies being spies and those other things.
Yarden's but at least it kills
The problem with Yarden is, like, 30% of the time he's going to be this game-winning blowout, but you can't play a card that 30% of the time is a game-winning blowout. I'm not sure how good he's going to be.
But if he blows on enough people, he's just going to scare people away from their deck.
Well, that's on you being scared.
Yeah.
Like, I played this deck where you play that T-Bor guy, the 25 power guy, but your opponent draws a card. It's not very good.
Yeah.
But I'd play him, and then I'd start putting Fringilla down that copies power, and she'd copy that 25 over, and I'd pop her back to my hand, and I'd do it again and again, and all of a sudden it was 100 points, and my opponent draws a card, and I lose every time to Scorch, Igni, D-Bomb.
Both quite good.
I mean, there's a list of cards I lose to.
Depends on who you want to play.
But I won, like, 70% of my games. Climbing ladder because I wasn't afraid to play it.
Yeah. Right.
Because people at that time weren't playing Scorch and Igni and Villain Trenum Earth and D-Bomb. Now they are, and I'm scared shitless and I'm out. And that's fine, but if you're not seeing the card, you can look at Gwent up, and if you're seeing that it's in less than 15% of decks and you're running away, you take that 85% if your deck is good enough.
Yeah, there's definitely a point.
Igni and Scorch and Villain Trenum Earth right now are like 30 or 40% of decks. I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's too much losses, but so you know you can't be afraid. You gotta pick a deck that's right for the metagame, and you don't want to try to make your deck not lose to those cards. You want to pick a deck that doesn't lose to the cards that are being played right now.
Right. The border tells you what faction it is. But so if you want to stick with the same faction,
that's just like everything else, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So say I'm gonna change topics just for a second.
Yes.
No one else plays this but me, so it's in this room. So I got into the Division last year. Like a year and a half ago when it came out.
I remember people played that game for like a month.
Yeah, we played it for a couple months, and it just didn't have very much. It was kind of, now, and we just walked away because it was, you know, one of those games that's supposed to be good wasn't. But they spent like a year and a half updating it, and they've had some supposedly good updates lately. So me and Jordan and Jeremy are going to start playing it. But even logging in now, it's like when Diablo 3 came out. Diablo 3, well, if you've played Diablo 3 when it first came out, it was like you walked away from that game too, like, nope.
Yep. And then I bought a computer to play this game, and it's just torturing my soul.
But now a new season comes out, Diablo 3, and it's fun to play for a couple months. You go and do all the shenanigans. You know, it's fun now.
Yeah.
You know, it took him a while, and that's where Division is now. You all get a Division, it's like you actually do stuff and loot's flying at you, and you get to upgrade, and now you feel powerful. It's not just like just annoying game. It's not a chore. It's fun. It's just nice to see a game that, you know, I spent, you know, $100 on a year and a half ago actually to be able to give me a
lot of there's some lines. People that play Gwent during the close of beta that feel the same now with that game. I mean, not every game is like that. But
so it's just nice.
A coworker's giving me his copy of No Man's Sky. I've heard that one's gotten good.
I've heard good things about
it. I saw Marshall play it initially, and he was just like, I'm okay with this because I want something to
he had
do.
He had no expectations.
Yeah, he had no expectations.
Yeah, I've heard that good too.
That release was absolutely hilarious for me, though. I watched and enjoyed.
Schadenfreude. that was more of me saying, hey, if people playing Division on the PS4, look me up.
Oh, okay.
More of an advertisement. It was like 30-second advertisement for the Division on the PS4. Yeah.
We do recommendations later, Brian.
That wasn't a recommendation. That was, please play with me.
It's four-man groups are the best, and three-man can do a lot, and with three of us playing, you know.
Sounds like Borderlands.
Yeah, I just bought Borderlands for my PC. Borderlands 2, that is the only one.
The Borderlands.
The Borderlands.
I'm
running around as Axton, and I killed a random dude in the first, like, open area you get to, and he popped out a Dirty Harry, Unkempt Herald, right off the bat. So nice. I'm running around level 10 with an Unkempt Herald, just shithousing stuff.
Borderlands 2. Yeah. PC, I imagine that's being read pretty smooth then, less load times or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah, and right, I mean, it's just always there. If you got it on Steam or whatever, you can transfer it across.
But. Which is nice. I've been playing so much Friday the 13th on Steam with Andy and Chris, but I've been always tempted to play some Borderlands on the PC.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I've always played. And I every couple year and a half or so, we jump back in for a while. See, so
I had Borderlands on the Xbox 360, and then I had Borderlands 2 on the PS3. Then I had Borderlands pre-sequel on the PC, and then I got the Handsome Edition on the PS4.
I have the Handsome Edition for the PS4, which I don't play. Well, the PS4 days kind of came to an end, but tempted for the PC.
You just missed it, but of course during their Black Friday sale, you could get everything that there was for Borderlands for $8.
I have pretty much everything.
Including Telltale?
No, the
Borderlands
2, the entirety of DLC.
That's a lot of DLCs.
I don't know. I was at 36 wins and went. I was like, I need something to do.
Gwen to me is like, I love Gwen, but I still only play between 4 and 6 games a night. I don't really push myself more than that. Sometimes I play 7 or 8.
I'll do
really
my double daily usually.
I try to control myself, but I cannot.
Like I had like an 8-game winning streak where I couldn't stop because it was fun. But then I was
sitting at Keith's house because I refused to get internet because I knew I'd just be glued to my computer playing Gwent. So I was sitting at
his computer.
I was glued to Keith's computer playing Gwent while he was out of town. And eventually the screen came up and said, no more rewards available. I was like, what? At that point, I had to stop.
Don't you have to win like 80 rounds?
I don't know what it was, but yeah.
6, 12, 24, 48, and maybe 60.
Yeah, I know it said, no more rewards available. I was like, oh, what? It was like looking off the edge into the abyss. Like every 2 wins, you get a reward. That's how it's supposed to be.
That's true.
It just shuts off.
Every 2 round wins. Right. Again, you can go 0-1,000 and get all your daily rewards.
Yeah, you can reach that abyss not winning a game.
Yeah.
I don't even know that I was winning a lot. I think I was playing a lot of junk. So.
Junk. So your games are interminably long.
Yeah, I might have sat there for like 6 hours and eventually popped up. No more rewards,
dude. A new deck on your account, and like suddenly you like lost all your ranking.
Well, that's the funny thing is that the non-ranked multiplayer,
the casual games are
fuck
often
because the people who are like high up on the ranks, like they're level 19 or 8, whatever, they don't want to risk it.
Yeah.
So they're like, I'm an amazing noob stompy player, but I don't want to risk my rank, so I'm going to make a new list and then just go fuck people in casual.
Yeah. In my experience, if you are below rank 16, casual is harder.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe even 17 or 18.
Yeah, just play ranked. It's where the better rewards are.
Unless you're at 22, 35 ranking and you're feeling a little burnt out.
Yeah.
When I played Hearthstone back then, it was the same thing. Their casual was much harder than I never realized that when I was first playing. I'm like, well, rank seems terrifying, and all the good players are there. I didn't realize that. The
because
you're playing against
you queue up Gwent into rank 10, and you're an experienced player. It's almost comical.
You do the single player to unlock all the leaders, and you'll probably already be level 10, which is what you need to play ranked. If not, you'll be like level 9 and then just play a couple casual games.
They removed that restriction, as far as I'm aware.
It was there like 2 months ago.
I think it might be gone now.
Oh, okay. If there's no restriction, go straight into ranked. But I would still do all the single player stuff because you'll get you'll get the leaders and you'll get kegs.
I think every 10 levels you get a free gold card too, and you'll probably hit almost level 10 just from
doing it. It's a random gold card, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
A random gold
card. I'm level 19.
I saw some fucker got a Geralt Igni from a 2-round reward.
Yep,
when you randomly get a card, you got an Igni. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yep, all the time. Yeah, they just throw cards at you.
No RNG in Gwent.
Nope. Yeah, I'm never lucky with those kegs.
I hate you so much.
You know, I got bored. I was saving all my kegs, and I got bored this morning, and I opened 4 packs, and I opened a silver and a gold.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's average, right? I did get one lucky. I did get a gold in the 4 and then an animated gold in the pick at the end. So
that was the best keg ever. It was Manticore Venom, which is not very good, and Old Spear Tip, who's okay. So it wasn't, so I was unlucky.
It is great when you flip over and you get to pick a card and there's just 3 gold staring at you. Like, well, because,
Yeah, Old Spirit Tip was the only one I didn't
it
have.
It almost
that
hurts. Match, because you're like, I want it's you all.
It's great when the game tells me, well, you have two of those. I go, free, you choice there.
Yeah.
I did take a duplicate once, because there was a card I think maybe might get nerfed in the future, yep. And I'll get to mill or full value.
Yep.
But so far, every other card that I've had, I've been like, mill full value. 2 weeks later, I've been like, rebuild it.
Yeah, they've got the most obnoxious game design where when they nerf stuff, they do it reasonably. And so you still want the card. It's like, come on. Is that reasonable to you?
Chat asking if you can build a burn deck, and you can definitely build decks whose focus is grinding your opponent's value down. Like before mentioned, Aridin does it because he drops weather, and weather is a hazard that stays on the board and just hurts your opponent's models every single round.
And if you're looking for more of the spell slinger variant, there is Eithne is a dedicated spellcaster card, and she can channel that towards direct damage, and she can burn stuff up pretty good.
And it looks like there's better direct damage coming, like the boulder is...
Yep, they've... There's a card, Elzer Slender. Pick a target, do 7.
Which is, value-wise, very poor for our bronze. The only time that you want to use it is if you're killing something that has a low value on it that generates a lot of value.
Because there are a lot of cards where it's like, if that 7-point card exists, I'm going to get fucked. Because it's just the siege guys who keep giving +1 to every card.
Right,
out,
or the shooters for spies. Yep. It's like, that card says 6 on it, but the score that it's going to mount on this round is more like 20.
Yes.
Now your Elzer's Thunder is a 20 card. But anyway, so Elzer's Thunder, deal 7, end of story. The new card coming out is Boulder, deal 7, move the model. If there's nowhere to move to, he dies.
Oh.
So that is...
I think they changed it.
No.
No. That's what it is.
That's the new one that's coming out.
So, I mean, now that compared to Elzer's Thunder is clearly better.
Well, and so I was saying, I was telling Marshall it's like the first strictly better. But so there's two things. Number one, there's the corner piece.
They might change Elzer's Thunder.
They might change Elzer's Thunder. But even ignoring that, as they are, the two things that are maybe a strike against it is, one, Boulder is not a spell.
Right, so Esselenny can't use it.
Yeah, so things that pull a spell
will still get played.
And number two is that, in theory, you might not want to move the thing you're hitting.
Right. So I mean, you're
talking
decks.
To me. That was me.
That was you?
At Who's the Boss yesterday.
See, I don't remember when I'm talking to you at anywhere else or Marshall at work.
Right? I mean, Elzer's Thunder will still get played with that.
He said that, not so. Marshall.
Isn't Boulder deal 10?
No, it's 7. It's Thunder plus the
This expansion's also going to add, they're going to add limits of miles per row, too.
It's just like Parasite is just a better Manticore Venom.
Yep.
Except it's monster, not neutral.
Right. Yeah, there is some pure upgrades.
The card effect looks really cool.
And thank God it's not a unit, because if you played that down and it stayed there, people would forfeit just to not have to look at it anymore. God, yeah, the animated.
I liked the Vivekaro Maddox got the tweezers with the leech squirming around in it. That's
You've
the best
seen Parasite,
one.
Right?
I didn't really
is it
pay
new?
Attention to it.
It's Parasite's one of the new ones that's coming out. It's deal 12 damage or boost a model by or boost a unit by 12. So it's Manticore Venom, or you can boost if you'd rather.
Right. And what they're seeing is something like Manticore Venom will brick in your hand if your opponent doesn't have a model to kill, right?
Right. It's a close-up of an eye with this worm just, like, spiraling into the cornea and just twisting, and the eye is, like, twitching and crying. Really nasty.
CD Projekt Red does not hold back on their cards. And they briefly tried to hold back on their cards because of China censorship, but then China started censoring everything, and they said, fuck it, and now they're not holding back on their cards anymore. And they can be ridiculous.
They are Flayed Witcher.
There's like Flayed Witchers. There's people grabbing somebody else's head and literally incinerating it in their hands.
Oh, Vilgefortz is awesome.
He's a good card.
The graphics of the card are so beautiful. And then I even bought some of that dust because having an animated card, it's so messy.
They're so
done.
Amazing.
And
they're
fun to stare at. Like the animated roach is hilarious because it's making fun of the glitches in Witcher 3. One of the new cards is actually a reference to, so one of the guys that does their streams, I forget his name, but he, you know, obviously with permission from CD Projekt Red, he's like their official unofficial leaker.
Actually, he got into trouble. He leaked something he wasn't supposed
to. So he's their official unofficial, and then he occasionally also leaks things he's not supposed to leak. One of the new cards is some elf. I forget what the name is, but it's his face on the elf.
Yep.
And the text describes him basically as the Onion Knight from Game of Thrones, where he like rescued people by bringing them food. And of course, he's famous for bringing people leaks.
And they're actually on the
painting.
He's got a bag of leaks.
You cannot build a neutral deck, Jim. Question in the chat because one of the mechanics of Gwent that we didn't mention.
Stop calling Arctic Circle Jim.
But it's Jim.
No, it's Jim. Arctic Circle.
It's Jim Goff.
Then he would make his name Jim Goff.
Fair point. Jim Cartage for you.
And there's Jim right there.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Arctic
chat.
Goff.
One of the mechanics is the leaders that we've mentioned. The way that they work is when you build your deck, you have your 25-card deck, and then you also have your leader. And your leader is a very powerful card, maybe not the strongest card in your deck, but it's the card that defines your deck because you have your hand that you draw at random, and then you always start with your leader. And they basically are in your hand.
And they're also revealed to your opponent.
Yeah, and they're revealed to your opponent. And so it's functionally a guaranteed card in your hand. They can't be forced discard or anything like that. And so it's a card you're known to have, and you build your deck around. And there is no neutral leader, so you always have to build a faction deck.
And I don't think there can be
you
for balance reasons.
You could pick a leader. You could, in theory, pick a leader and build a 25 neutral card deck. So well, I don't know any leader that would necessarily be good for, but you could, in theory, build a neutral deck.
I think it would get the closest.
When you play against somebody, when you see their leader, it gives you a hint of one of two or one of three strategies you're going to encounter.
Sometimes one of one.
Yeah, sometimes it's one of one, definitely. Yeah. But, I mean, probably two, one
like,
of three.
Like, you see Aridin, you know the frost is coming.
Yeah.
You just know it.
Yeah, yeah, Aridin is definitely a one-trick pony.
And, if you do the reveal with Emir, like, because he's
you
not normally
play,
the reveal
you can
leader.
Play John and Emir with reveal. It's just they're equally as bad. But, I mean, and this is coming from a guy that likes playing reveal. But
no, John Calviet is a spy master.
He's also he's good with soldiers, but soldiers is underdeveloped. But there's a card coming out that's like 5-power spawn a soldier. That'll help quite a bit.
If you see somebody with Dagon, you know that you're going to win.
I see him once in a while. I'm like, why? What's happening?
Because he was good 6 months ago, but they nerfed him into oblivion, and some people haven't caught on to that.
They didn't really nerf him into oblivion. They did what they always do, is they buffed the other stuff.
I guess so.
Which, I mean, like, if you would have talked to me 4 months ago, I'd have been like, man, the crones, they're just too good. They didn't change them one bit. I own all three, and I do not play them. They're clearly not too good. Right. What they did to Dagon is a fog player.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, now the new Clear Skies heals every damaged thing under fog by 2. Fog has a habit of bouncing around to a bunch of stuff. So you can sit under fog for 6 or 8 turns, which should be terrible under weather, play 1 Clear Skies, and probably negate 2/3 of it.
You heal?
Yeah.
Clear Sky, yeah, because that, in theory, the point of it is if I drop Frost on you, you take 2 damage, you play your Clear Skies, it heals those 2 back, and then gets rid of the Frost, right?
It only does 1. It boosts damaged units under weather by 1.
I'm certain it's 2.
It's, oh, they increased it to 2?
Yeah. So, I mean, but that's,
it reheals them.
Right.
And
it
so
is
in
just
theory, if you immediately respond to a weather with a Clear Skies, it undoes the damage from the weather.
And Dagon is also a Weenie Horde caster, where the fog and the Weenie kind of goes together. But it turns out, although you'd never believe it, Unseen Elder is better at the same strategy. Right now, he's got better tools available. Slyzard and...
Well, the consume triggering the arachnids and whatnot is
right.
Also
well,
very
that
good.
Is
and
actually
the harpies
not
and, yeah.
usually played in the deck. But he'll eat the harpies, which spawns more harpies out of his deck, and then you Slyzard the harpy into play, creating more harpies.
Sure.
So he can really swarm out, and he's much better at it than Dagon. So right now, you have the 3 traditional monster deck, Frost, Swarm and Fog, and Consume. It's just that Swarm and Fog and Consume are both headed up by Unseen
And then
Elder.
The Unseen Elder plays his Avalok the Sage to pull a Yennefer Unicorn.
Right. Or he just plays it himself.
Yeah. Or that, too.
If you play the Swarm deck...
4K Nolos Dos.
Yeah. If you're playing a Swarm deck and you do not have Yennefer and probably Renew when you can eat your own Yennefer at will with your deck, you're probably an idiot. I mean, that is... Yennefer is one of the very few, like, exponential-style cards, where if you get out ahead of your opponent in the right way, it just...
Well, or get behind. That's what's interesting about
right.
Hers, because
I love
you have the 2 choices. You either buff everything by 2, so if you have more units than your opponent, it's good, or you choose to hurt everything by 2, so if you have fewer units, it's good.
Yeah, I actually subbed her into my spy deck, because everybody is kind of swarming right now, and everybody controls your shooters so bad. You're always behind on units, and you put units on their side. And I've been, like, literally just blowing people out with Yennefer and spies. They get to the point in round 1 where they're 35 points ahead and they think they're safe. And they pass, and I've got 2 cards to catch up, and she can do it sometimes in 1.
I was playing a game where I was down, like, in the 3rd round, I was down by, like, 40-some points. I'm like, he had 1 more card than I had, but I knew I had the game. Yep. It's like, whatever, I don't care.
Right.
This is like, this is...
That happens quite a bit if you're doing Iris, Caretaker Iris, but... Yeah. Or, you know, Yennefer, couple
fucking
times.
Iris but. Caretaker Iris, eat a dick.
Well, my new realms can just pull up just because of how I can chain. If I actually have the right cards, I can pull five cards.
Yeah,
from
you dig Strahd and Natalis into a Commander's Horn or something. Yeah, like, sorry, guy, so this ridiculous. Game is over.
Yeah. Yesterday I was very sad because a guy had stuff scattered, and I Geralt arded and knocked things back. And then so instead of having like two things and two things, he had four things in a row, and then he horned them.
Whoops.
I was like, nah.
That's funny because you're like, goddamn, I'm a moron.
That's where knowing, I mean, if you get into the ranks where net decks are prevalent, knowing
you know that he has a horn, yeah.
And the thing is, when you get high level, it's almost all net, because certain people just have more time than you.
Yep.
You shouldn't.
You're not going to sit and try to, I mean, I have junk optimized. As far as it can go, and I played it way too much. But if I'm picking out a spy deck or if I'm going to pick out a consume deck, I'm in a net deck because that guy spent 100 hours optimizing it. Yeah, I'd be dumb not to
pick. If you
want to
play it seriously, don't be creative. At least at first, play a month or so using net decks.
The thing is that like I made a small tune to that net deck. I changed out, like, I forget what card even, for Yennefer, and my opponent doesn't know how to play against me now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can play a net deck and just switch one or two cards and totally subvert their expectations.
But at least with playing net decks, you see how certain things are functioning, and then you can tweak a little. I mean, tweaking is always good, but at least you understand the core functionality as well.
Yeah, but it's similar to finding lists online in something like War Machine, right? Yeah. Like, there's like, oh, it's, you know, it's Keith's Gatsby 2 list or whatever. Well, fine, okay.
Yeah,
but
except
then
for when
stuff.
Keith was playing Gatsby 2 in Mark 2, every 3 months he'd change it. Based on the metagame.
Well, and so does Swim, right? I mean, people do the same thing.
Absolutely.
But you can go online, you can find those lists, you can play them, and then if you want to sub stuff out, more power to you, right?
Yeah, I've spent enough time with John Spies that every once in a while I make a change that I feel pretty confident about, but even then I'm like, sometimes I still go back.
And people will net deck fast. Like, Swim was doing a stream, because he'll stream for like 8 hours, gets his job. He'll make a deck at 8 in the morning. By noon, he's facing his own deck that he built because people are watching the stream.
Sometimes he'll hit people that are watching his stream while playing him, and he has to play with them knowing every card in his hand.
That's the danger of streaming.
But I mean, he doesn't care.
Prepared
he gets
for
to
it.
Sit at home and play Gwendy all day.
Yeah.
How does he care?
It's a good job if you can get it.
It's kind of a good job.
Does it matter what role you put your cards in?
No. There is no strength, only for positional reasons, right?
Yes and no.
Right.
Answer.
Yeah.
It does not affect your strength, but it affects,
So, like, there's a card called Marigold's Hailstorm that hits a row and damages every unit in it by half.
Okay.
If you stack into one row, or let's say Lacerate, that's actually my example. Lacerate does 3 damage to every model in a row.
Okay.
So if you put 10 models into that row,
I have
a 30-point bronze. The average bronze is like maybe, let's call it 12.
Yeah.
I mean, I've tripled that. If you instead went 3, 3, and 4, now I've got my 12-point bronze.
But then there's cards that could hit
then
up
they
the bronze.
Do a Ragnarok, and it hits all three rows, and so you're taking triple the damage you would have been taking.
Right. So that, like, my junk deck actually plays on that strategy. I've dropped Ragnarok. They're like, I'm going to hide from the end of the world by stacking in one row, and the end of the world will only hit one guy in that row.
Sure.
And then they stack up their 10 models in it, and I go lacerate.
Sure.
Now they've taken more damage than that Ragnarok would have done if they split up.
Double lacerate is so fun.
Oh, man. Sometimes you leave your opponent at, like, 3 points.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. The junk deck is expert at it, too, because this deck, it's you play the Elder Guardian, and he splits off into Lesser Guardians into your opponent's deck.
Yeah.
And then you play the Magni Division that puts a copy of that into their hand, and he's locked in melee right now. So they stack up those lesser guardians into the melee row, and then I double lacerate so they get 0 value out of them. So it works. It does work sometimes.
It
works way more often than you'd think it would. I switched my leader to Morbrand.
20% of the time, it works every time.
It's actually, I get around 45 to 50% with it.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty optimized because I spent way too much time playing that retarded deck. I mean, when you watch it go, it's like, this is idiotic. And my opponent's got to feel so embarrassed when they lose. But lose, they do. They actually can win.
You switched to Vori.
I did. So, listen.
Why?
Well, it's actually really good. So, Morbrand Voorhees is really bad in general. But what he does do is he's a single cold open 16 power play.
Yes.
So, and that's really pretty good. And so I cold open 16 power. It gives me time to develop weather. It gives me time to develop my combo. And it thins my deck by 3. So it allowed me to take out some of my other deck thinning that was becoming unreliable, them Alba Spearman, and put in the utterly reliable deck thinning that he provides. And my opponent will catch up to me, but not until I've set up my combo. And once my combo is set up, you know, I can actually win. It does pretty good.
Plus, but, Voorhees was my bro in Witcher 3. I went on a date with him. He was my favorite. We went to the races, had a picnic.
I like his brother.
Yes.
And I've, also Voorhees was the leader I first had. I milled everybody but him, so I still have some loyalty to the old guy.
I didn't mill any of the
I might not have milled Nilfgaard. The rest of Nilfgaard.
I played Northern, the Northern faction mostly. I switched that just because I like them in the games, so it was just like fluff-based reasons to play. And I still like monsters. I mean, I still have more monster cards. I rotate between the two.
All I've been hitting lately, I don't know if it's just random luck or what, is Northern Realms. That's why I put that
Yeah. No, it's because of the thing that's going on right now. It's Northern Realms versus Skellige, and Northern Realms is winning, so everybody's playing Northern Realms to be on the winning team to get a free goal.
Oh, crap, I played Skellige, so I can't get my win.
Yeah. Did you play a lot of Skellige?
Yes, enough.
Enough that you can't play that many Northern Realms plus one tonight?
No.
Before
6 o'clock tomorrow?
Maybe. I don't know. Go to PlagueWent.com. It'll show you when it ends.
It's one goal.
I've played European times.
The losing team gets 100 dust.
Oh, that's kind of almost as valuable.
So, you know, it's whatever.
You're getting something out of it.
I've played zero of each, so I'm just going to play one game of... I don't have either of the
gold. I don't have either.
The Northern Realms gold is Dijkstra, I think.
You just get Dijkstra, the best gold in Northern Realms, just about.
Yeah,
I have him already, so that's not so
okay.
Bad.
Yeah, I might also.
I will check the ending time and what the golds are.
It's 200 ore or 200 scrap, so that's not bad.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any non-Gwent thoughts on the day?
So we ran a Who's the Boss yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Andy, you ran a Who's the Boss yesterday. Talk about that. Hold on 1 second. Sorry. There are 20 hours, 45 minutes, and 55 seconds to go.
So tomorrow at 6.
No, that's tomorrow at 3. Tomorrow at 4.
Weird.
Yeah, that's tomorrow at 4. So that
I'll
is
have
weird.
To craft a Northern Realm.
Then it's 2 hours before the normal day.
Do you have to at least win one game or just play?
I don't think you even have to win. I think it's... I think you just have
because
to play.
Because I don't think I can win a game with Northern Realms even in casual because my casual opponents are going to be like 4,100 MMR and I'm not going to have any cards.
If Skellige would have won, it was Madman Lugos. Northern Realms winning is Dijkstra.
The only unfortunate thing about that is any dedicated player to those factions would have already had those cards.
It should have been a new card of the new stuff coming out.
Maybe. Just like a rare card that's kind of more of a funsies card, because any dedicated player is going to have Lugos or Dijkstra.
It would have been really cool.
You'd have to get at least one win. Whichever of the factions you have the most wins.
So I'm going to have to find some really up-tempo play where I go like five cards down to win.
Hey, can we play against each other?
Oh, that's how you do
once?
It? Oh, no. So you go into the first round and you play like Ken Signs and Bitterfrost as your openers. And your opponent's like, idiot, and passes. And then you play the rest of your deck out to win the round. Or just the first of three, you know?
I think it's...
You have to win
the
game.
Or you have to win the
it's
game.
It's game.
Oh, no, I'm screwed then. Can't do it. I was like, just one round win, I could definitely get...
Just trick them?
No, it's game.
Well, it wouldn't be tricking them. You'd be giving them a free game. As soon as you open Ken Signs, you've lost the game.
Pretty much.
Anyway.
Yeah. That did happen to me once, and I was just like... They're like, Ken Sign, and I was like... pass? And they're like, oh, no.
Yeah, open Ken is a sure loss. Not a sure loss, but it's pretty bad. Open Bitterfrost, then Ken is a sure loss.
You went to Who's the Boss, too?
I went there, yeah, and I tricked Andy because I'm like, hey, can I get a ride to Who's the Boss? I'm like, sure. And I get his car, and I have a bag, and we get there, and then I open my bag, and it's just full of board games.
But you paid for food.
Yeah. No, I mean, I paid and I supported and I helped and everything, but Andy thought I was going to play, and I just, I brought board games and then hung out.
Did you bring board games?
Yeah.
What did you bring?
Brought stuff.
Yeah. I think you just ended up playing, like, solo Grizzle.
I played some solo Grizzle, then I played Grizzle with a group. We played some Skull, which is a good game.
I love Skull.
Yeah.
That's a good game. Who's the Boss? We have 14
people.
Of
order. Oh, sorry. 14 people.
I had 14 people. We raised about $430 for a charity. We didn't normally... Our normal charities, we do Toys for Tots. It usually ends up bringing a lot more toys in for the tots. But this time around, pretty decent for 14 folks.
Yeah. And we were at the Elk Lodge again in Milwaukee, which is the best tournament venue that exists, as far as I'm aware.
$4.50 blind Russians.
In double glasses.
In double glasses, yeah.
All those kind of lodges are great for alcohol.
Oh, God, yeah.
They understand the clientele's need.
Yeah, the more veterans or whatever that are around the place.
Yeah, because it's like if anyone deserves a lot of drinks.
There is.
Yeah, I found out that the disease of the blind Russian has spread to just about everybody who participates in a crippled system event has a bar. Because that's what everybody was getting. I caught one person getting a beer, and I shunned him.
Because we got there quite early in the morning, so my first drink was a screwdriver, because otherwise you're an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And once it got to like 11:20, I was like, all right, now I can switch.
Well, yeah, four rounds of good times. I had a little snow outside, not too much, but it was a lot of good. We'll have another Who's the Boss at DeathCon on Friday, so you should sign up if you're going there.
My favorite round of the day, you'll appreciate this. I was playing my Retribution, and I got Zerkova 2. So it's sort of like Ron, but if you could boost their attack rolls every round, and then on your feet turn, you got to run them, and then they cast spells.
Yeah, that would be pretty hard to defend against. I'd assume the caster would get snatched into somewhere horrible.
It was like fish turn 2?
Top of 2, yeah. I used the cricket to slam something over the top of their caster, which I mostly just wanted to get that thing out of the way. Knocking her down was a peripheral bonus, and then she got fished out to where Narn could get her. Because the achievement was kill with a solo.
Yeah, I still don't think that's as good as a Mage Hunter Assassin one-shotting Nightmare, living through the opponent's entire next turn and then killing their caster.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That was a Mage Hunter Assassin under Vlad 2's feet.
Yep. Yeah. Vlad 2's feet, and then the next turn she just simply used Transference to win.
They should not be able to boost her game.
Yeah, it's weird that it's like they don't give Rat those things. they gave him Storm Rager on a caster that literally has nothing else going for him. But
yeah, Tyrone wants to be good.
Storm Rager on an Assassin, I'm sure, is quite good.
So, Nathan, I mentioned this in the podcast before. I have unfollowed everyone on Facebook just because it keeps my newsfeed clear and happy.
Yeah.
Except my Facebook refuses to not. I have to, whatever Nathan posts, I must see it. Facebook. I've never. I can't. It just. You will see Nathan's stuff. So it's always interesting because
do you like pay extra for that?
I don't know what he does.
I make sure everyone can see my stuff,
and I can always tell when Nathan's more riled up politically because suddenly I look at my phone like you see 16 updates from Nathan the last like 14 minutes or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it's because at some point in the day Nathan is unhappy with Trump.
What? Is it because he's playing Hearthstone? Or, what's the issue?
Yeah, yes, it's exactly.
It's just funny, because the guy following you have all these alerts. I'm like, I'd make it stop if I could. I don't mind what he's posting, it's fine. But I've tried to unfollow that political stuff, but Facebook's like, nope, you need a sprinkling.
It's more entertaining in person where you get to hear the 10-minute-long sexual fantasy about choking Mitch McConnell to death.
Oh, my God. Well, sometimes what's wrong with the no turtle? He's inspired many a good time for me.
Well, sometimes he'll make a post, and he'll have, Nathan Flair with a link, which is always good. But then occasionally he must be in a hurry, so he just posts the link without the Flair. I'm like, well, I don't need that.
Right, yeah. If I Matt watched it, where I just drop a link.
Mitch McConnell is shaped entirely my game strategy.
Yeah.
any one of those Hidden Traitor games, I just like channel Mitch McConnell. It's the best.
I will say, as much as I dislike Mitch McConnell, he was wonderful in his performance in Pan's Labyrinth.
So I just want to say
that. I don't recall that movie. My brain shut down in the middle.
It didn't. So this was something I saw on a post today, which was the weather in Alabama next week will favor Ray Moore because it's supposed to dip into the teens.
Yeah, he likes fucking children.
Yeah,
No, it's good. It is fun when our country just has decided that pedophile is okay.
Yeah,
that's only okay in Alabama. That's true. Let's keep things clear.
That is true. It's not the country. It's
right.
The Christian conservatives did warn us that the allowing of gay marriage would lead to the acceptance of pedophilia. What we didn't realize was that it meant that they
would be by them.
If you look gay marriage,
I have to
to fuck a child. That wasn't the full message we got.
They didn't understand at the time what they meant.
But. I'm telling you, I bet he'd be good at the hidden traitor games. Yeah,
that's Mitch McConnell, and that's the pale man from Pan's Labyrinth.
I mean, I really do enjoy.
They didn't
his
even
strategy.
Need any makeup.
Just roll to everything.
A cameo. Well,
the pale man just needs some glasses. Then it'll be set.
One of them is a twisted monster that murders children, and the other one is the pale man from Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
I've never seen Pan's Labyrinth.
I like Mitch McConnell. I'm telling you, he defined my hidden traitor game play.
Just vote nine.
Yep, you just vote no to everything. It works every time, except for when it doesn't work.
Yeah, until you like Eternal, though.
Oh, those two games of resistance.
We had some problems when we did that last time. We were playing with somebody that played totally different than.
Yeah, he's like, our group, the leader always puts themselves on the mission first round. We're like, fuck you. We will out you immediately if you do that shit.
Where was this at? Was this?
It was at Keith's place. It was Stephen Still.
And then,
Still.
Yeah, Nate in the one game goes, you got me, I'm the spy. And he's like, let's send Nate on the mission. He was not paying attention.
He wasn't paying attention. He didn't hear me.
Well, that's interesting. You mentioned how different people play. You talked about before the podcast how you wouldn't play Lord of the Rings in a group and seen other people play a game. You've played Lord of the Rings for years.
Yeah.
Other people who don't. You forget that other people don't play efficiently sometimes.
Right.
You're like, why are your decks so bad?
Hey, I didn't really mind it, but I mean, the guy I was playing, so I went to this Lord of the Rings event, and it was three tables of three people, and each table, like, interacted with the entire mission. And it was, I mean, when me and Keith or me and Epic Nate play Lord of the Rings, it is no quarter given. We're not like, we're hobbits adventuring to a mountain. It's like, we're going to destroy you, deck. It's a cooperative game. But the cooperation part, for our part, is watch us raffle stomp the game.
We're going to beat you to death with math.
Right. So we're like, me and Epic Nate, and Epic Nate isn't quite as great at math grinding as Keith. So his deck was like 10% weaker than Keith's. Okay, whatever. But we sit down to math grind this game, and our teammate has no idea what's going on and is like kind of just, he's playing a red deck, but he's a red deck that has no way to defend against enemies ever.
And so like
his
deck,
so the red is the combat, and its only job is to handle enemies. Now if you're not defending them, you're not handling them, even if you can kill them. So he doesn't understand like what a terrible burden he is being on the game.
Right.
Instead, he's complaining about Epic Nate playing Gandalf the hero, so now he can't play Gandalf the ally. Well, Gandalf the Ally is not good. Gandalf the Hero is one of the very best ones in the game.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, I can understand you being casual, but don't sit and complain about the better deck, right?
To be fair, the Ally is good. Like, if you can cheat him. You have to be able to cheat him, and you have to be able to cheat him reliably.
But he was playing red-blue, and he had three copies in his deck. There was no way for him to get him into play. I mean, the guy, you know, it's one thing to be casual, but it's another thing to complain about people that, like, he just didn't realize that we had a mass mastery of the game, and we would have ground this
game.
You
were on
a
different level,
right.
So he could not, he literally could not understand what you were doing.
Yeah. Right. Neutral Gandalf may as well be purple, because he only belongs in purple.
Right. And even then. But anyway, it was pretty interesting watching these people, like, kind of fuddle their way through, and, like, just, you know, they got lost because, you know. To be successful at that event, you would have had to have a bunch of math grinders, and they just weren't there. And it's fine. I still enjoy myself, and I got a card that had unique artwork, and it's the best hero in the game. So hard to complain.
That's what's cool. That kind of events getting those unique cards, and then just watching other people. Like I was going to Ironborn a lot earlier this year before my work went crazy on Thursdays just to play random board games with people, and just watching them play the same games I played home.
Right.
Is just interesting.
Yeah, it makes you feel a little better about yourself. Yeah.
Well, in some ways,
like if this was me, Epic Nate, and Keith, we would have probably won this, even with the other tables losing.
Well, even if the versus, I'm talking even like versus games, other people is interesting. And I will say one thing that's nice when I go to the game store, our group, and we are sometimes better than other times, but because we all understand math, when you're playing a game, you kind of know when you're losing, so you kind of complain about it a little bit.
Right.
But when you sit down in a game, and it does get old over time, and we all do it, and it's just one of those things. But when you're at the game store, I think they know, but like, for whatever reason, when you're playing in this like, open environment, there's so much less of the like self-anger. which is sometimes it's peaceful to play against. When you're playing a game with like five people and four of them at any given time aren't complaining how they're losing, whether they yeah. whether they are or aren't. Jeremy,
are you talking about back when we all went to Denny's and played board games, Brian?
every free-for-all game devolves into that because yeah. you've got to look like the weak one yeah. all the time, but.
But it's just, but it can be like stressful.
When you're doing the math and you're like, man, he's so far ahead, and you see it, but luckily everybody else usually sees it, and you know, usually come to the rescue. But
yeah, it's just interesting.
Yeah, it depends on the situation. Like that guy, and also the person. Like this guy we were playing with was complaining about obviously correct strategic moves and obviously better decks and limiting, you know. And it's like, well, maybe you shouldn't be complaining, but whatever, it doesn't really matter. And I got the deck, and me and Keith will probably make a terrible mockery of it. So the enemy deck, so that'll be enjoyable.
Nice.
So
yeah, we've been cranking through the nightmare modes, and those have been a refreshing challenge, I would say, for the most
part. Yeah, we can actually lose some of them.
Some of them repeatedly.
Right.
Which one was it that just crushed us over and over again? Oh, it was the same one that crushes me solo over and over again. It's the not the bar fight, but the one after
where
you're, like, trekking through the jungle.
Right.
And your first choices are, like, lose or die. And you're like, what? You have to get, like, this god-tier opening to somehow beat them, because it's just, like, hordes of these giant monsters falling on your face turn one as you're threading out. Just like, I hate this.
Yeah, there is some nasty ones, especially at Nightmare, but it's interesting that those guys like at I'm Bored have managed to keep playing through some of that stuff, because you can tell that they must just really be
how
very
did you ever beat this quest?
Right.
I don't know.
Maybe a couple of people in their group is just good enough where it makes up for the rest.
Yeah, probably. Level. Or you know, maybe they just like, well, that was a hard one. And they move on to the next one, and
because single player can be it's the least balanced. Some quests are very, very easy single player. Some of them are very hard single player, and it runs the gamut in between. Two player is where the game is probably easiest.
Probably. Often four player is by far the hardest, except for when it's really not.
Yes. Four player is, again, kind of like one player, but it tilts towards harder, whereas I think single player tilts towards easier. Because so many cards come off the enemy deck that it can chain into disasters
right.
that you never see in one- or two-player games.
Right, and you just cannot have the right control card to mitigate.
Yeah, you can't rely on that much cancellation.
Right.
Like, everybody would have to be playing blue with three copies of the cancel
right.
card. And
that's why we used to have a consistent four-player group, but we got to that same one you were just talking about, and the group kind of fell apart, because that four players, this sucker is not winnable.
That's when you just start with some, they were like Southerons or Easterlings on the edge of the
Southerons,
river, right?
Yeah.
Southerons.
And with four players, it's like, here's a million.
It was way past the ability to handle it, and then you'd get four terrible treachery cards.
We would lose to that three or four times, and then go do the Burning of Lake Town for a reliever.
Right. Or go fight a Barag or something. Yeah.
So for next week's card game session, we have to go get in the Star Wars Destiny, play that for a couple weeks, and then for next. But we just have to keep bringing up
the new Gwent cards will drop.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm stunk on Gwent for at least some time. I have a problem.
I understand there's more card games. We have to keep our card game thing going.
Is it a problem?
No, it's not. It's wonderful. I love Gwent.
Were we ever going to get back together and talk about Night Angel? I just reread it.
I reread it a few months ago. It would be nice to.
That is an enjoyable book series.
They're called Skis. Yeah.
It's such a minor point. I just can't.
But I'm right. You know I'm right.
What are you talking about?
In the second book, there's a scene where Yeah?
It's fair, right?
Yeah. So he's on a mountain and he's fleeing from some guys and he's like, I know how I can get down the mountain quickly. I remember there's this tribe, and they do this thing where they take strips of wood, and they tie them to their shoes, and they go down the hill really quickly.
Snowboarding.
And they call these things flingongle pooples. And it's like, listen, fucko. I've read 1.95 books of this series so far. You drink beer, you ride horses, you wear pants, you live in houses. Those
but
things are called
it's a
fucking skis. Don't make up some stupid fucking word. Just say I made skis.
So there's a thousand
that's
amazing still things
way,
in the
way
yes,
better
a thousand
than
amazing
tree.
Things. But all you can talk about are the fucking skis, not the plot points, not the...
Oh, everything's amazing. Everything's amazing.
You've never talked about one amazing thing.
We haven't had that podcast yet.
You can't get over the fucking skis.
Every book had one thing. Every book that had one... No, you mean a flaboongle flamble.
A I'll be screaming the goddamn thing as I murder you with
it. The Boogle Goggles are still better than Omniscient Trees. Boogle Goggles, you motherfucker!
Every one of those books had one thing that pissed me off.
I don't even agree on two of them. I give you the skis. I give you the skis, even though it's stupid. I'll give
my,
it to you.
My biggest hang-up is that the first third of book two is just like this interminable blue-balling. And it gets kind of whiny and annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know.
I would have expected it from a first-person perspective, but from a third-person perspective, lighten up. Like,
but
give me something else.
But luckily, all of his paths are always done so well that I don't mind some of the that shenaniganry.
I really enjoyed the books here.
They're good. I did.
They're very
good.
Waffles, notwithstanding.
It just took me out, like, I'm reading. I'm like, really?
I remember explaining that to me. In my mind, I'm like, okay, don't murder Nathan right now. This is
how my brain works, Brian.
I know.
I remember being annoyed by that.
Also, I have that same shirt. You got it at Shopko.
I got it at Walmart.
What? Oh, yeah, no, that is a Walmart one. The Shopko one is slightly different.
He's not a 45-year-old woman, so he does not shop at
Shopko. I've seen him in Shopko.
Oh,
I don't
know.
Looking for you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Really? Where's Nathan? I need to buy a Fumbanga goggle.
Fumbanga goggles.
You're going to see me coming and run at you with a ski someday. You're going to lose your goddamn shit.
Epic Nate was talking about the guy that finished The Wheel of Time, Bran Sanderson.
Yeah.
He said his regular books are very good.
I keep hearing that, but the last two books of Wheel of Time were mangled so horribly that I...
Well, he did everything right except for Matt, is what I've heard.
Yes.
Which is mangled horribly.
It's completely unforgivable.
Right. This is a book series I've literally skipped to Matt chapters for five books in a row. Please don't ruin this character. Fair enough.
I've read one of his trilogies, and they were pretty good.
Pretty good, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I didn't blow me away, but I was like, this is a good book series.
Keith read some Robin Hobb recently, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
been good. She starts more up-tempo, which is still slow, and then eventually her writing drags out, but I still enjoy them.
I stalled on the book three of the final Fitz
series. And I still haven't read that, because I enjoy the way the second ended so well, I don't want to go into the third. It's hard for me to like, because I was content and happy.
I think the Live Ship Traders is actually the most action-oriented of all of hers. Those are the best of
sounds like books. I need to go back and read
Live
those.
Ship Traders
I should force myself
epic.
To finish this last Fitz book. And then
that's another book. You really want to read the first Fitz book, the Live Ship, and then the second Fitz book.
Yeah, I sort of wanted to, but I was hooked on Fitz at that point, so sure. I was just like, give me more Fitz. And I went,
yeah, although book
Fitz.
One of the second trilogy, I just want to punch him. I mean, to be fair, you always want to fucking punch him in the goddamn face. You motherfucker.
Well, speaking of a little bit of fantasy.
He's like a guy you like, but you can't stop talking shit behind his back.
Yeah.
Fantasy book novels.
God, he drives me nuts. I like him, but he drives me nuts.
Kind of like Nathan or Jeremy.
Right.
I drive me nuts, too. The first two seasons of The Magicians are on Netflix right now, and we've talked about that before. Yeah.
It's interesting because it's kind of like the books, but kind of different. And in both of them, the characters in both are very pretentious, which are you kind of don't always like them, but it's still interesting.
Who's the writer on that, of the books?
Some random dude.
Yeah. Is there an omniscient, benevolent squirrel living in a tree?
There is not.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it's the tree that is omniscient, and the squirrel just happened to be there.
The trilogy's worth reading. It's interesting. But the TV series is worth it just because it has one of the biggest fuck yous to fans of a book series ever in a massive troll. And then it undoes the fuck you. But when you're not marathoning, so imagine you're a big fan of Game of Thrones, the books, and you're watching the series, and you get to Robb Stark's wedding, and they get married, and everybody throws rice, and they go off to their honeymoon cabin, and the end of the episode.
Okay.
And you're like, what?
Like, I don't think so, no.
What? No? And so people were fierce because they did that. They had, like, their red wedding moment, except everything was fine. And the person, like, it's like in a flashback. It's like if Arya had told you about the red wedding or something. Mm-hmm. And so she goes, she's like, yeah, and Rob got married and everything was great. Hooray! And you're like, that's not fucking right. And you write angry letters to the Sci-Fi Channel and you complain about it on Reddit and you yell at your friends at work about it. And then a week later, the next episode, that person starts to crack and you find out that they had just suppressed all the memories and then they show you the red wedding and you're like, oh, it's so nice to see it. The week wait made it even sweeter. It was a pretty magical troll by the show.
Has anyone seen Logan Lucky?
No.
Anyone intend on seeing Logan Lucky?
Kind of. Well, not enough. I like everything that they've
there's
done.
There's a minor spoiler.
Go ahead.
During the movie, there's a prison riot as to one of the many subplots. The prisoners are their list of demands, is they want a copy of Dance of Dragons, Summer. They want the last three Martin books.
Sure.
In the library.
Winds of Winter.
And the world's looking, here's the book five, but book six and seven aren't y'all. And they're like, fuck you, it's been like X amount of years,
we know it's out. It has to be out.
Well, my inmate, the guy who transferred in, knew about the dragons. Well, that was it. They're like, but the show's ahead of the books. That's not possible. That's the dialogue back and forth between the warden and the prison. Out of the blue of this nonsense movie where everything else is going on that's interesting. Just kind of drop the little nonsense on Martin.
I mean, I think we could thank Brian or be mad at him for even getting the fifth book.
Yeah.
As Brian is solely responsible for the fifth book being released.
Yeah, so. And it was bad.
Do you know that? Because you haven't been, you weren't on the podcast when I told. And I know we've talked to you in person about this. Do you know the amazing follow up to Brian's?
Yeah, that Martin was talking about it at a con somewhere.
Yeah. Raylene and I went and saw him live, and in the interview with Stephen King, he told Stephen King that the most terrifying thing that ever happened to him was Brian.
Hey, but it got him writing.
So Brian can die fulfilled.
Yeah.
I've stopped trying since then. I peaked out.
Yeah, that's a good time.
There's no zappity grumbles.
Oh, how have you been? We ready for recommendations?
Yeah, we're definitely
ready. Let's assume Gwent.
I was going to recommend it last week because somebody randomly mentioned... No, it wasn't random. I was discussing BoJack Horseman with some people, and the actress who plays Honey Hawk guested on an episode of this podcast, or it's a YouTube channel, really. And so I watched the episode she was on, and then I watched 9 hours of this YouTube channel laughing the whole fucking time. It's called Drawfee. Drawfee. And all it is these people, they're half-hour episodes, and they have a topic. Like, one of them was Lovecraftian elder gods that they weren't familiar with. Like, the artists had never heard of these things, or, like, superheroes they don't know of, or fusions of two or more Pokemon, or cryptids that they've never heard of. And they just draw these things live and just bullshit while they're drawing. And the bullshitting's hilarious. The drawings are always fucking hilarious. It's a great channel.
The link you posted was like a minute clip, so I was very confused. But now that I know it's like a full-length show, it makes more sense.
Oh, it wasn't the full half hour that
unless I was watching the commercial, I was very confused.
Weird. But yeah, it's supposed to be a full half hour.
Was it about insurance?
Yeah, whatever I saw, it was 30 seconds a minute. I'm like, I don't get it, and I just moved on.
Oh, but no, it's fucking hilarious.
Like, why did Nathan link a Fidelity commercial?
I love Fidelity Insurance.
That's your recommendation.
Friends. I was confused. I'm so glad you clarified that now.
I watch so much of YouTube that I'm getting annoyed by the commercials that they're serving to me.
Hopefully you don't watch it on your Fire Stick, because that'll be ending soon.
What? Oh.
But Amazon and Google are having a big blowout right now.
Really? No. Well, I mean, like, I'm convinced I have hepatitis C, because they've shown that commercial for me, like, every single fucking video I watch.
Also, you had sex with that prostitute who had hepatitis C.
Oh, shit.
I mean,
was it before Rick and Morty? They're one episode.
That's the good hepatitis. Yeah,
yeah, they're just good guys.
Yeah, that's my recommendation. If the rest of you are just going to say Gwent, that's fine. I just wanted to throw that one in because it was going to be last week, but then Andy was at SteamCon, so we didn't have an episode.
I wanted to do it, but...
Oh, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Things fell apart. That just happens.
I wanted to mention drama.
Recommend something, Keith.
My recommendation is... I mean, we talked about it some today, but my recommendation is...
Gwent?
The Lord of the Rings LCG. If you got out of it, it's a good thing to come back to because they have made serious improvements.
And if you don't have any friends who've been on the computer screen, maybe you'll have everything.
Yeah,
no,
and
we don't have the extent of the computer.
They have the ship expansion out because that is the very best one.
Yeah, so if you quit right after... what's it called? Heirs of Numenor, which is understandable.
Yeah, the horror in the woods.
It's worthwhile coming back, I think.
Actually, right after Heirs of Numenor, there was the... that was when they did the Gondoran cycle, right?
Heirs of Numenor was the Gondor cycle, and then did the Dunedain cycle next, I think.
Right, Dunedain, I think the quests were really pretty fun, and then the ship quests were really fun. Yeah, they really refined their...
Fantasy Flight learns from their mistakes very well, which is a thing I like about the company a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wasn't recommend. I'm going to
Wolfenstein. Wolfenman.
The New Colossus was a awesome game. I love New Order. And
your dad's a great guy in that game.
New Order?
No, isn't New Colossus the one with the...
Yeah, your dad.
Yeah, your dad.
But Wolfen, the new order, it's, if you like to kill Nazis, which most people do, the action's amazing, the story is so over the top, but yet fun. It's just got a cast of characters where when it's doing its little between action scenes and it's just things are happening, it's so entertaining. You get to, like, you know, if you want to kill Hitler, sure, you get to do that. And there's just so much nonsense going on. I always like the idea, because it takes place in the 60s. Hitler, you know, it's a whole Nazis won the war kind of alternate history. At some point, you go up to Venus, and you have, like, you spend an hour and a half on Venus, which makes no sense. But, you know, whatever, the Nazis have a Venus base. So you go up there, you got to get some, you have to get the codes for their flying
ships. Fuck you, moon.
Yeah. Well, I think you went to space in the first one, too. You just occasionally go to space for some stupid reason.
Yeah, I forget which one it was. The first or the second one, where that's the great line where, like, the main character to play against finds out that there's a Nazi, like, the Nazis went to the moon. Yeah. And he just goes, so they put a Nazi on the moon, huh? Fuck you, moon! Flicks off the sky, and I'm like, yeah, that's BJ's response.
Yeah. No, it is such, the dialogue in that game is phenomenal. The final one's going to come out, I think, probably in a year, and it's plenty of a trilogy. If you like first-person shooters, you like killing Nazis, and you like just a fun, over-the-top, well-written story, there's your game. That's my suggestion.
I either have to recommend food or music, so I'm going to do both. New alternative, I love Vance Joy. Listen to this guy. He is incredible. His music is amazing. It's probably going to be very, very popular, and you're going to hear it way too much pretty soon. So you might as well hear it now while it's still enjoyable. And then turn off the pop station later. But his music, it's mind-blowingly good. And I think, you ever heard of the guy James that did that goofy song, Laid? I think it's the same guy, but he had to change his name because he knew nobody would take him seriously. But, I mean, his new stuff is serious, and it is seriously good. And then I previously recommended Archer Farm Salsas.
Yeah.
Newman's Own Salsas are just as good, but half the price.
Newman's Own, I think I've actually recommended Newman's Own before, because the thing is, it's really good shit.
And it's
surprisingly
cheap,
and 100% of their profits go to charity.
Yeah, it is
win-win-win. It is cheap, good food that you can feel good about.
I mean, I do never feel good about charity.
You don't have to. Do you feel good about half price for the same quality product?
But if the money's going to charity, I still did that. After
well, the thing
charity,
is that you know that charity? You're kind of screwing the charity is because you're giving them $2.50 less a can
sure.
of
there
salsa.
You go.
Yeah, depends
then on the you charity. Really would. I mean, you're like, I would spend $5 for this, but they're charging $2.50. Yeah.
This might be unclear. There is a stripper named Charity.
Oh,
well, there's money too.
Yeah.
She's just dancing on Paul Newman's
do they have
grave.
To put, like,
and
a
they
legal
just...
disclaimer: we're talking about a stripper,
we
not charitable endeavors.
There's a capital C. They said proceeds go to charity.
That's
and if
true.
You don't understand that it's a proper noun, that's your fault.
Even if some of the company changed your name to charity, it would still be worth it.
Yeah, Andy, you're here.
My recommendation.
Did you enjoy the Gwent you played?
It was okay.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't want to take against real players yet.
Yeah, that's fine. Play the single player mode. Okay. Unlock all the leaders, get plenty of chests. Kegs.
Go to gwentdeck.com.
Finest kegs in all of...
I mean...
Cheapest barrels in all of...
I did play with no sound, too.
So oh, okay. No. When you go to the shop,
Shoop
make the
Smash Bash? Yeah, that guy is amazing.
Shoop. On the Gwent... streams that CD Projekt Red does, they have a little plush Shoop on their table. I don't know if it's available for purchase yet, but when it is, I will buy one.
He is hilarious.
He's funny in the game when you bump into him.
So, my recommendation, I just
Shoop
started...
is in the game?
The rock guy?
There's plenty of rock trolls in Witcher 3, but is Shoop, like, the Gwent card-loving rock troll in the game, or are you just... all the rock trolls are amazing.
I thought he was the one on the island by himself up in the Middle Land area. That was Shoop.
Well, there's Trollolo, who's right down south of who's singing. He wants to be the soldier.
And he's off, was he? But he's like a
he
marsh
does a good
island.
Job of it because he's always around soldiers.
He's like a marsh island guy.
Yeah, no, that's not Shoop. That's not Trollolo. But whatever. All the trolls are amazing.
Yes.
Sorry.
I just started. I had it on my DVR for the longest time. I only watched like half of the second season. And I'm starting to finally finish that season because I got a lot of time off. I really like the Preacher. Preacher second season so far. I'm in the middle of Airstar's information.
Do you have this week off?
I have this week off, yeah.
Nice.
So I will be catching up on a lot of television
Gwent.
This week. No, I'm not going to play that much Gwent. I'm going to try to play a
play
couple
Gwent
games.
While you watch the Preacher.
You say that now.
No.
Your daily's only six rounds. Not even games. Just win six rounds.
Yeah, three games, you're done. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
But
those are good days.
Man, the whole Hair Star thing in The Preacher, I think Ryan's seen all of season two, but it's I love his training video. The episode Pig from the second season is probably one of my favorite episodes ever of The Preacher.
Hair Star is a little unique.
So far, I've liked the series so far. I've never read the comics, so I have no idea how much it differs from it, but the show has been enjoyable for me.
Sorry.
All right. Well, look at that. That was a pretty good episode one of Gwent Old System.
More Gwent than Lent.
It's been almost an hour.
Give up Gwent for Lent. It rhymes, but I could not do it.
It's almost been an hour since I restarted the actual audio recording.
So let's say Swim is Jewish. Can he play Gwent on Saturday?
Maybe Shabbos. Maybe he just builds decks on Saturdays.
I don't throw cards on Shabbos.
Right?
All right. Yeah. So.
Bye, everybody.
All right, thanks, everyone, for watching.